Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 235 of Beyond the Supernatural. We are in the monsters section, and this page introduces us to the Brain Burrower. The Brain Burrower is not too strange a creature by role-playing game standards. It's fairly typical at this point to have a sort of brainworm-type creature that'll get into your head, maybe eat your brain, maybe control you psychically. This creature does both. But the combination of those two things, along with another little interesting detail about the Brain Burrower, raises a hypothetical question that I think is vastly more interesting than the creature itself. And that's really what I want to focus on today. You know, maybe it's the Krabbies talking, maybe it's the fact that, we're starting to really get into this batch of episodes that I'm trying to record all in one hotel stay, one sitting. But, I'm feeling a little daydreamy. I want to explore this a little bit. Here's the thing. Before we get to the fantasy, though, the hypothetical, we got to ground ourselves in reality. What is a brain burrower? What does it do? Quote, "The brain burrower is a horrible parasitic little monster that feeds on human brain tissue and PPE. The creature is an eel-like thing with scores of thin, delicate tentacles that resemble long hair, at least from a distance. The hair-like tentacles are used to move and grab slash hold of objects as well as its victims. The creature's body measures about 6 to 8 inches long, with the tentacles of an equal length." So, 6 to 8 inches long, a foot to 16 inches, including tentacles. For those in countries that use real units that make sense, that is 15 to 20.3 centimeters without the tentacles, 30 to 40.6 centimeters with tentacles. And then, to this page's credit, there's a very direct description of what this thing does. Quote, "What it does is climb up to the head, then wraps its hundreds of tough hairs around the person's head and hair, and begins to secrete an acid from its mouth to burn a hole into the skull. The process is quite painful, but takes only about 2 minutes, 8 melees, to complete." That's not comforting. That's not helpful. Not something I want to hear at the dentist. Now, this is going to be very painful as I drill into you. But don't worry, it'll only be extremely painful for about 2 solid minutes. Anyway, you can guess where it goes from there. The burrower crawls through the hole into the skull and starts to eat the brain. But just hold on. Quote, "The burrower will completely devour 20 to 25% of the brain within 1 hour. And that is when things get really strange. The burrower can temporarily control its victim's body, making it walk, run, climb, talk, see, use simple tools and devices, drive a car, and perform basic skills. The creature is somehow temporarily linked to the brain and can control the body. Its odd telepathic nature enables it to absorb the character's skills and fragments of memory. All skills are limited to what that particular person knew and are performed at minus 30%. Memory is limited to tiny bits and fragments, like a 10,000-piece jigsaw puzzle that is missing 9,000 pieces. The burrower and body can sustain this condition for 96 hours before the telepathic link breaks and the monster loses its hold on the person. However, that is usually its cue to finish eating the brain over the next 12 hours, its victim lapsing into a coma, and exit when finished gorging itself." Now there's one more detail that I have to give you before I sort of take you with me into this strange thought exercise that I stumbled upon. The detail comes from the next page, and it is that the brain burrower has an IQ score of 1d6 plus 3, which the text characterizes as high animal intelligence. Now putting aside the fact that an IQ on average of 6.5 is smarter than many player characters, as we touched upon yesterday, it's characterized as high animal intelligence, and for our purposes today, I'm going to accept that. I'm going to accept that, you know, maybe they got the scale a little messed up in this section, possibly. But what they're trying to say is the brain burrower is like as smart as a dog, right? A smart animal, but not like a human. So here's what's weird about the brain burrower's MO. It attacks you, ambushes you while you're sleeping, right? And it attacks you in like a fairly animalistic way. I mean, I'm not familiar with any animals that do exactly this thing, but, you know, it grabs you, it dissolves part of you, it eats part of you. This is all recognizable animal behavior. Now, once it's taken down about a quarter of the brain, though, the brain burrower gets, what, full? Impatient? I don't know. Just bored, maybe. Maybe that's related to the fact that the brain burrower now takes control of its victim's brain. It is able to control its prey and, in fact, access some of its memories, some of its skills. Control the body. Act as the creature. Act as the prey. This lasts for 96 hours, which, the text says, is the point at which the brain burrower starts eating the brain again. which takes about another 12 hours. This 96 hours, it's interesting in role-playing terms because it's not tactical, it's not strategic, it's for fun. These 96 hours raise the question, which I at least find fascinating, of what would a smart dog do if it could be a person for 96 hours? Because that's the situation the brain burrower is in. It's had a little meal, it's doing okay. It ate a quarter of a brain, it's full. Big happy tummy on the brain burrower, things are looking up. Then all of a sudden, I think this is why this is the cue to the brain burrower to stop eating and go have some fun. Suddenly, the brain burrower is in control of a human body and it's got human skills. Imagine if a smart puppy woke up and found itself in a human body, wearing human clothes, and suddenly knew how to drive. Wouldn't the dog go for a drive? Of course it would. It would drive around. Maybe it would use the telephone. Dogs wonder about the telephone. Now's their chance. Get on that phone. Push the screen like the humans do. Get into the contacts. And you've got those snippets of human knowledge and skill. You see the name Mark. You can read now, at least a little bit. Mark. I love Mark. Hit the button. Cell phone ringing. Hello, who's this? Mark. Hi, Mark. You can talk to Mark. You know how to talk now, at least a little bit. You're driving a car with one of your human hands, and with your other hand, you just called Mark. You're hearing his voice. Hi, Mark. You might meet Mark at his apartment. You might yell at his cat when you get there. Who knows what you might do? The brain burrower is in exactly the same situation. The brain burrower has no context for humanity, but suddenly it's got these snippets of human memories, human skills, but still only the intellect of a smart animal, still only the intellect of a dog. And what's wonderful and fascinating, I mean, I say wonderful, I don't want anybody's brain to get eaten, with a few exceptions that spring to mind. But given that your brain is gonna get eaten, what we're left with is this little eel-like creature full of wonder, animal intelligence, who isn't hungry, isn't stressed, just all suddenly has these new capabilities, suddenly knows all this stuff, suddenly gets to just play human for 96 hours. Who knows what it might do? Because it has these memories, it has these emotional memories, you know, obviously, and it can kind of pose as you, but it still has the basic motivations of an animal. So like, it might go to see your girlfriend. I mean, don't get jealous, like probably it's just gonna roll around on the floor with your girlfriend. It's got a positive emotional memory. Might go to your spouse, back at your house, and say, hey, sweetie, because now it knows the word sweetie, let's make tacos. Why? Because this brain burrower from another dimension, it had no idea there even were tacos hours ago, but now it knows not only what they are, but kind of how to make them. Step one, buy shell. Step two, buy beef. Step three, enlist spouse to help with tacos. These two are probably going to have a great time. Imagine the excitement. Imagine if your dog learned to make tacos. This would get to be a struggle, no doubt. I'm not, like, into the future, there have to be limits. But the first time, the wonder of the first time a dog making tacos, fantastic. And keep in mind, this is borrowed time, 96 hours, and this brain burrower is done. It stops playing human, it goes back to being a gross little eel, it eats the rest of your brain and it moves on, right? Does it even remember this? Probably not. But for this shining moment, it's a dog that's learned how to make tacos, and it's making tacos and eating tacos. There's a sense in which this brain burrower, this brain eel, is living your best life. What were you doing when you ran into a brain burrower? Snooping around in some old crypt, probably. Typical you, working away your day, obsessed with your responsibilities. Oh, who's going to handle the crypt if I don't handle the crypt? That's your responsibility, your morality. Commendable in a human being, unnecessary to a dog or a brain eel. So you are in the crypt or whatever, you get your brain burrowed in. And I'm not saying that's great, but your brain gets eaten. Now, here's this brain eel in possession of your skills and memories, and what does it do? Explore the rest of the crypt? Fuck no, it goes home, it makes and then eats some tacos, it rolls around on the floor with your girlfriend or your spouse and your girlfriend, like, I don't know your life, maybe this brain eel lucked into a polycule, really lucked into the right brain on this one, and it's just rolling on the floor with your two cute significant others. What then? Drive around town. Driving a car, a novelty for a brain eel, not a chore. Is this brain eel stressed in traffic? Of course not, because it's wrapped around a brain that it can just eat at its leisure. You're used to driving around in a car, down the street, traffic, stress, danger. You're not used to what this brain eel is doing. It's just kind of easing on down the road, wrapped around a big old meatball. Hope I don't crash this meatball. I might have to lie here and eat a meatball. That's the worst case scenario. Lie here and eat a meatball is the worst thing that might happen to me this evening. This is amazing. What else? If you were a dog, What would you be curious about if you like if you got a human brain for 96 hours so that you could kind of get like a little bit of context for human stuff? If you've ever had a dog, what do you do that your dog would be most interested in doing if it could be a person for a day? Or, you know, however many days 96 hours is. I don't have time to do math for this podcast. Not right now. Not while we're deep in this fantasy. Your dog might put on your pajamas. That's what a dog might do. A brain burrower might do the same. Being a biped would be a little bit alienating at first, but it does have those comforting memories to connect to of that physicality. And one of the comforting memories is going to be, let me put on some pajamas, get into bed, sit down on a beanbag chair. It might do things you haven't done since childhood. Pleasant memories that don't fit into your life now. But when you're an eel, the world is your oyster. I guess the hardest thing about going and finding a beanbag chair would be just like what percentage of a human brain is devoted to knowing where they sell beanbag chairs? What are the odds that the eel gets it? You might have to ask somebody. This might be a very surreal encounter. Your friend Mark, after an unproductive and enthusiastic conversation early on in the 96 hours, might get another call later. Hey, Mark. Mark. Yeah, what is it? You're being weird. Mark, I want to sit in a beanbag chair. Mark, where can I find a beanbag chair? How does Mark react to this? I don't know. Does he help you out? Does he start asking you questions? Your cover might start to wear thin, and I think that's the only place where there might be some stress in this process for the brain eel. I don't think a dog likes to be questioned. I don't think a dog likes to be suspected, especially when a dog knows that it's done something a little bit unacceptable, which eating brains is. I mean, we're extending some courtesy, we're extending some grace on this for the purpose of the hypothetical, but I mean, make no mistake, I don't think an eel should eat your brain. But think of it from the eel's perspective. Now Mark is like, hey, what's going on? Listen, what's wrong with you? You know, think of a dog that's been caught with something it shouldn't have. It's abashed, feels bad about itself. It takes the criticism on board immediately. But there's a page in the human playbook for this. A page that a smart dog or a brain eel wouldn't have access to. You can reject other people's criticism and disregard their opinion of you. Fuck you, Mark, bye! That's something a dog can't do normally, but it can when it's in your body, with your memories and your emotional sophistication. I feel like this potentially is the 96 best hours of a dog or a brain eel's life. A wondrous period that ends, you know, with a come down, but not necessarily with like death or doom or whatever. I mean, for you, yes. The rest of your brain's going to get eaten over 12 hours. So because we know this can't end well for you, let's not even talk about it. But for the eel, this could really be like a growth, like a learning experience, a weird, surreal, fun thing to do. If you could just do anything, if you could have humanity for 96 hours and then put it down, what do you do? And then when those 96 hours are up, you do put it down. And how does it end? With a nice big meal and a blank slate. Amazing. What a lucky dog / eel. Now, in the context of a paranormal investigation, I think this 96 hours, it's going to be a little directionless from the perspective of the player character looking in. And I guess that's the dumbest thing on this page. You give the brain burrower high animal intelligence and no motive to do anything during this 96 hours of mind control, and you're likely to find this victim just like being weird from the outsider's perspective. Do you want to kill it? I don't know. I mean, according to the alignment rules, this thing is, quote, considered to be diabolic evil. But what does it mean to say that something with the intelligence of a dog that's just dicking around is being evil? I'm not sure I'd be comfortable killing one of these things. So while I appreciate the hypothetical, while I appreciate the opportunity to ponder what a dog would do with a lease on a human life, I'm not sure that the brain burrower's mind control ability here is optimized for a satisfying adventure. This ability makes me want to experience the story from the eel's perspective, which I don't think is what the author was going for. And there is that moral quandary about what to do about it. I guess it depends on the fate of this partially eaten brain, if I intervene. Join me next time as we discuss that on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.